Uh-oh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So on the way over here, we were teaching the girls that that God knows every hair on their head. Kelly said some people's heads are easier to count than others. But she said I had to get a tattoo that says... What was it?
Nothing.
It says once here, 2001 or something. So we were explaining this to the girls, and Olivia goes, "Wow, God really cares for us so much. That's amazing. That's why we vote for Donald Trump and God." I said, "Right on, babe."
Score.
So we can go to Matthew 14.
You don't have to edit that.
Do we gotta do so I didn't behave?
You said Matthew 14.
And so this is, I hope it's kinda cool after I'm done. But I was reading through the story of the 5,000, feeding the 5,000. Jesus did that. Nick, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You there? Yeah. You have to like this, by the way.
Or you're fired.
So we're going to go through every gospel. It's in all four gospels. And I think we're going to see something pretty cool here about how God works with us to believe greater, believe bigger. How Jesus was working with them, how God works with us to accomplish his word, his promises, and his will in our lives so we can see things bigger. We'll see why God's word is so important in our lives, why it's so important to know it. We'll see how he trains us in his love, his grace, and his mercy to believe bigger and bigger, and to do the works of Jesus, and to do the works of the Word of God. So we'll start in Matthew 14, and it starts in verse 13. And I hope we can see this from a different light than maybe we've ever really seen it before. So, verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And John the Baptist had just died. That's what had happened. But that's what he heard of. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some victuals, some food." And Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." So we'll keep on going. And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it, break it, gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So I've heard people say, well, you know, they have lots of kids and everything back in that culture. So there could have been 20,000. So I'm just going to cut that in half and say, can we agree that it was probably about 10,000? So this was a great multitude, right? So go back to verse 16, right, real quick. And let's read this a little slower. So this here's all the disciples. They're looking at about 10,000 people. Jesus Christ fed the 4,000, but that was after this. This is the first time they're facing something like this. Jesus Christ looks at them, because they say, send them away so they can get some food. He says, they do not need to go. He says, give ye them to eat. I want to read this in another translation. He says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. In another translation, New American, says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat, exclamation point. Let's go to Mark, chapter 6. Interesting, though, that they'd be looking out at 10,000 people, and they say, hey, they're hungry. They need to go. And Jesus says, they don't need to go. You give them something to eat. They didn't have any food to give them. Verse 34. And we'll read this. It's the same story again. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So again, let me read this in another translation. Verse 37. He replied to them, give them something to eat yourselves, is what Amplified says. Yourselves, give them something to eat. That's what he's telling them to do. So, anyways, what was their response? Let's look again. What verse? 37. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So they didn't listen to him, because he was telling them to do something, right? They weren't listening to him. He told them to do it. Then they were trying to figure out, all right, well, how do we do this thing? He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by the companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and all of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And Matthew told us, plus women and children. So, again, you give them something yourselves. Interesting. So let's go to Luke. Chapter 9. In verse 10. Well, let's look at verse 1 first, too. I want to point this out. So, this is the time when, we can just read it and we'll find out. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So, this is that time when he gave them power and he sent them out to do these things. This is that. They had been with Jesus. They had seen all the miracles, and they had seen how the Master was doing things. He had taught them in the Scripture. He had taught them how God worked, how to do these things. Then he gives them power, and he says, now go and do it. So let's skip down to 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, so they're back now, told them all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So this was an exciting time. They had just come back. They were like, oh, we're the men. We're the, I'm the man now. That was so awesome. So he's going to, now they're going to face something else. So anyways, they're back. He took them to a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. He received them, spake unto them of the kingdom of God, healed them that had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. I like that word. In the south we say victuals. Where was that word? 12. For we are here in this desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Let me read this in another translation. You yourselves give them food to eat. Amplified. New American Standard. You give them something to eat. Exclamation point. Now, it's a great multitude they're looking at, right? 10,000 people. They just got back from doing all this stuff. And he's been training them up to be, he knows he's leaving. He's training them up, gave them power, authority. Here they come to this circumstance. He says, you give them something to eat. Now, why did he do that? That was my question. Why did he do that? But he's teaching them. Now, what would you think if somebody told you to do that? And why would he have reason to believe that they would actually give them food and how they could? Why would he believe that they could have broke the bread and it would have divided and multiplied to the point that there was? Is there reason to believe that from the scripture?
Yeah, gave them power and authority.
Well, how about manna from heaven? That's a loose point, but let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 4. There's the cruse of oil and the flour, right, that God kept multiplying. There's a little precedence there. And that's the point I wanted to make, was biblical precedence. There's something there. There's something in the Word when we know the Word. So we're 2 Kings chapter 4. Did I say that?
Yep.
Yes. When we know the Word, and I think this is what Jesus was, on the 1 Kings, trying to teach them, when you know the Word, you can do the Word. Let's look at verse 38, and we'll start there. So Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto the servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets, cook food. And one went out in the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. So this guy went out into the field, got a bunch of weeds and dirt, herbs or whatever that he did. Mushrooms? Yeah, and he didn't know what kind they were. They were poisonous, though. So he came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Now, then there came a man from Baal-shalishah and brought the man of God bread from of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and leave thereof. There shall be more. They shall eat and have some left over, is another translation. So when Jesus Christ told those guys to give them to eat, you give them something to eat. They don't need to go home. You give them something to eat. What was he doing? He was training them. They had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He was training them. He had just sent them out, given them power, given them authority. Now they come back. He says, okay, you think you're tough? Let's look out on this loaf, and or let's look out on this crowd and see what you can really see with God. How big can you really see God? Now, I did talk with Andrew about this, so it is Reverend approved, but he did bring up a good... He brought up a good point. Jesus Christ always did. He was always the bigger. Elisha divided the loaves to 100. Jesus Christ, 5,000. Moses spread the Red Sea. Jesus Christ walked on the water. You know, Jesus Christ did things bigger. So he saw, he was the greater that came. What was it before? It was Abraham, now it's me. So he saw things bigger. So he saw all these Old Testament records. He saw what God did. He saw what God did in all these people's lives. And he believed, whoo, way, way bigger. Big time. Say, so, let's go back to John. Let's read the record in John, and I think I can prove this point. Because this is interesting. All the other ones were the same, basically, right? John chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these people may eat? Now that's different than what the other records were, right? They came up to him and were like, hey, send these people away. This time he's asking Philip. Now, it just says one guy. The other disciples probably did come up and say, hey, send these guys away. They're hungry. But he asks Philip, where can we get bread that these people can eat? Verse 6, he said this to prove him, to test him, as the other translations. He said this to test them. This is what he was doing. He was proving them. He was helping them to believe bigger, to see God bigger. Obviously, they did not see it at all. Zero. But he did this to test them, to prove them, to make them better, better believers. For verse 6, he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He already knew. But he did this to prove them, so that they could think. I mean, you think about like when you were ever getting trained at your job. You know, what your boss would do. You know, put challenges in front of you. Make you spray a bumper or something like that when you didn't think you could. Do things to make you grow. He was doing this so that they could grow up into better believers. And Philip answered him, verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not even sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So that was obviously he didn't get it, but Jesus Christ was getting him to this point, because he was going to see it, and then he could have a bell ring. Oh man, because they should have known. They knew the word. They'd been with the master. He'd been teaching them. He'd been bringing them along. They knew what the Old Testament records. They knew Elijah with the woman, I forget her name, and the son, that they lived off a barrel of, or a crucible oil and a little bit of flour for how long? 2.5 years. It just kept, they knew that. They knew that Elisha did the bread with the sons of the prophets. They obviously knew the story of manna from heaven. I mean, if you're a good Jew, you got to know that one. So he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 8, let's go. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down now. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's go back to Matthew. And I want to point out something else about this. Because God expects us to believe his word. Matthew 14, sorry. God expects us to know his word. Why? So that we can benefit. I mean, so that we can see things. The more we know, the more we can stand on. And the more we stand on, the more we get to see. The more we get to get the blessings. The more we get to enjoy the life that Jesus Christ came to make available for us. But if we don't know it, we can't stand on it. If we don't know it, we can't believe it. But God wants us to stand on it. He wants us to walk out on it. He wants us to believe it. And I want to point something out here that's really, really sweet, I think. And tender. So let's start in verse 16. But Jesus said unto him, They do not need to depart, give you them to eat. And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, Bring them to me. Obviously they're believing, no, didn't believe it, right? And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, the disciples to the multitude. But listen, he prayed. He told them what to do. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't get there. He said, Give it to me. He prays, blesses it, breaks the loaves. Now he says, Now go give it to them. He gave them the opportunity to do the miracle. Even after they didn't believe it. Even after they couldn't get there, he gives them the opportunity to then go out and do it. So he's bringing them along bit by bit. He tells them what's available. They can't get there. Then he does his part and then brings them into the miracle. And he's training them. This is how God works. So when we want to see big things in our lives, when we want to believe the word bigger, and we just can't get there, what does God do for us? He brings us along. It's not this boss, hey, do it. And then you fail, and then he doesn't help you. He brings us into his word. He brings us along into his word and raises us up so we can see bigger and bigger. And the cool thing about this, I think, which Andrew brought out, that this is our faith we get to have. We got the faith of Jesus. We can see the Old Testament records and believe bigger. Jesus Christ said, All these things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things, because I go unto my Father. We get this faith of Jesus Christ. That's the faith. He saw the Old Testament records. He saw Elisha, and they said, This is the prophet that shall come. This was the prophet that shall come. And he brought a new faith. In Galatians it says, Before faith came, we were shut up unto the law, I believe. Before this faith came, this kind of believing, they were held captive by their works. They were held captive by condemnation and trying to get there. But God made us there. He gave us the righteousness of Christ and brought us there. We can have this same faith. We can walk the same way. We can look at these records and use them. They're applicable. to our lives. Now let's flip and go to Matthew 15. In verse 32, yeah. This is the record of the 4,000. This is just right after. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, where should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill this great multitude? This is just a little while after.
One page.
Let's see Jesus Christ's response. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few little fishes. He commanded the multitude to sit down. Now, they should have been doing this, right?
Yeah.
This should have been them doing it. But he does it. He commands the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes, gave thanks, broke them, and then what?
Gave
to his disciples to give to the multitude. Again, how stupid can we be sometimes? How loving is God to continually bring us up to believe his word, to see, 4,000 people, can we just double that like we did with the 5? 8,000 people. We can see big things. And God is not mean. He brings us right along to believe his word, to see it bigger, to believe bigger, so our lives are that much more blessed. I just thought that was a cool thing from that record of the 5,000. That was a cool little point. So, God bless you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.